So by the time I got around to asking our next I should mention, Bill McClung is not able to be with us today for his presentation on Texas Accordion Records. So we'll be moving along to the final presentation of our session. By the time I got around to asking him for a bio, he was already on the road and didn't have access to his files, but he did point out that there was a Wikipedia entry that I could consult. Not, however, in the English Wikipedia. However, I can begin with that, that Rainer Ilotz ist ein deutscher Diskograf und Jazzhistoriker sowie auf Entwicklungshilfe spezialisierter Wirtschafts- und Politikwissenschaftler. So I actually learned something there. So Rainer Ilotz is a German discographer and jazz historian, as well as an economic and a political scientist specializing in developmental aid. Not something I knew about. I knew him principally from his the front that we see here, the front that won him the Lifetime Achievement Award in 1998 from ARSC. And I've always greatly enjoyed the presentations that he's shared with us here at ARSC, always full of wonderful material, very striking visual images. I suspect this will be no exception, because his topic today is nipper napping, trademark infringements on gramophone needle tins. Rainer Ilotz.
Back from science to plain entertainment. I have been a member of ARSC for several years, and I have tortured you previously with all sorts of esoteric topics, and this one will be even more esoteric than my previous presentations. Come to think of it, we have never had a talk on steel needles. I think that is an important topic, and it should be considered for a future presentation. Neither did we have a presentation about the containers in which those needle tins were packaged. Neither did we have, as far as I can remember, a talk on trademarks, and certainly not about stolen trademarks. Now, I will treat you to all of this together. And the topic is nipper. I assume you're all familiar with the history of the gramophone trademark and the dog nipper. There's plenty of literature about that. This is just a small selection, and so I won't go into that. The trademarks were first... leave it like that.
You don't leave it?
Yeah. Okay. Entered in 1900... in the U.S. and also in Europe in the U.S., and I assumed that, being a European, I assumed that the first use of the nipper trademark was on needle tins rather than gramophone discs. I have since been told that at least on Canadian Berliners, the nipper trademark was used as early as 1900 on the actual playing side. I don't know how that was achieved, but I'm learning all the time. So in the U.S. it was from 1901. Those are North American needle tins, just regular needle tins. And in Germany it was entered also in 1900. And then again different trademarks, but always it's the same familiar theme, an outside horn gramophone, and then the dog, which was known to his owner as Nipper, on the other side of the horn, listening to it. And here is an early use, regular use of the Nipper trademark, about 1903, and that's another version in color. And here is an early European use of the Nipper trademark, which replaced the writing angel. So that trademark had become so well known that from an early time on, competitors tried to steal that trademark, change it a little bit, and use it for their own purposes. This one here, of course, is not a stolen trademark, but it is one of the huskies of Captain Scott, whom he posed during one of his polar expeditions in front of the gramophone, which was donated by the gramophone company, by the way. So which were the strategies? Keep Nipper, the dog, and replace it by another machine, which may look similar but is not quite the same. Or alternatively, keep the machine and use another type of dog. Or else replace the dog by another figure. Or else use more than one dog. Or else arrange the image mirror-wise. Now, I will treat you to all those ingenious ways of trying to circumnavigate the Nipper trademark, and I'm sure the gramophone company had employed an army of lawyers to fight all those people. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not going to discuss the various lawsuits, but this is just an example of competitors trying to cash in. This man got along for a while because his name was Fuchs. Fuchs in English is fox. So he therefore replaced the dog by a fox. It didn't take the gramophone company longer than 1 year to fight him off. That's another clever thing. There's a dancing frog talking into or listening to the gramophone. But my topic is not gramophone records. It is a gramophone Needletons. Now, this is a use of Nipper the dog used by somebody who produced cameras, tintypes maybe. So here is another dog, and I don't know what they advertised. It was pre-World War I. But the gramophone company had to fight quite a lot of those people because Nipper was theirs. This one is an advertisement for dictaphones, so closely related to our topic. Here we have a parrot looking into the horn of a gramophone. And here we have one of the examples where the outside horn gramophone was replaced by a baby or little girl, so something intensely emotional. And that would have sold very well if the gramophone company had not objected to that. Here's another one, the dog looking curiously at a chicken, and that was actually put into print. The containers were sold this way. And here's a very recent, no, sorry, this is another trademark. This is actually a trademark entered to fight the original gramophone trademark. And here we have another version, paper containers and metal containers. And here we have a very recent version of it from the 1980s, I think. You must know that gramophone steel needles are a mass-produced product. And the only way for the various companies producing Needletons was to the packaging. So you had to use fancy chromolithographs on the lids in order to attract the customers who went into the bicycle shop or the sewing machine shop or the talking machine shop and said, I need a new supply of needles. So here is one where it is already quite abstract. So Nipper is not listening into the horn, but something that emanates from the horn, which you can't see anymore. And here is something I thought would appeal to you. It is a European, a German tin, and it's a variation of the same theme, as you can see. Very collectible. High prices are paid for that. I'm not sure that John Tefteler deals in that. Several hundred dollars are being paid for that sort of needleton. So more and more variations on the same theme, really. Either replace the dog by another animal or replace the talking machine by some other figure. So I just run through that. This is a Japanese tin. Apparently, he had heard about Philip Rice or something. It's Moors. Now, here we have two dogs shaking hands with each other. That's strange things. Here, another one. That's so beautiful. And now, you know, they have siblings, three dogs. And, you know, his master's voice, and as we will see, they also try to capture the catchwords. So in this case, you have natural voice, not his master's voice, but natural voice, not one dog, but three dogs, and no gramophone anymore, but it is very clear somebody tries to catch in on the gramophone trademark. Those were produced in Japan, actually. Here's another version of that same design. And that is a German tin. And this was stolen from the Japanese tin. And here is another German tin. That is from as late as the 1950s, actually. And here we have not natural voice, but new voice, loud tone. And we have three dogs and a gramophone, but it's not an outside horn gramophone because we are now in the 1920s. And here we have his master's radio, dog and radio, German tin. And here. Yeah. John Coltrane. And that is the Italian John Coltrane. And here we have something very funny. This is from Japan once again, the dog and the angel. And the trained dog, or the dog to be trained. So some of those infringements are quite ingenious. You know, the competitors tried to test the limit to which they could go, and either they were sued or they were not sued. This one was very short-lived, actually. Now, here is another example that a German manufacturer of needle tins entered his own trademark, and it was approved. So that was a trademark that the gramophone company could not fight. And here, it's a blue emerald. Not many people could play into an outside horn at the same time. Two dogs, but neither of them is Nipper. And here we have a Nipper who is not Nipper anymore, and a cat. And this one also is, you know, very far removed from the real thing, but it's now God and Baby, an Indian tin. And in India, of course, and in some other countries, in Muslim countries, the dog is considered a dirty animal, unclean. So they had to do something about that, and they selected the one of the most important gods. And here also, Baby and Gaja, Baby and Doll, Baby and Nightingale, and here that one is, I think, for the Near East, for, yes, and although this was meant for the Arabic Peninsula, they have a kangaroo on it, don't ask me why. Trying to find something, some other animal than the dog, which is unclean. So what I try to explain is that they have the competitors had a lot of strategies, like keep the basic iconographic but change the type of machine, tape the dog, replace the dog by other animals or by human figures. This is a real tin, a genuine tin, a German tin. And here we have an Indian tin. And a German tin again, so no more dog but an outside horn. Chanticleer, a French tin, made in Germany for export to France. So his master's chicken. Here's another one. Isn't that hilarious? I mean, I love it. That's just, it's sort of a beaver, highly abstract beaver. But apparently has 2 ears, one is visible. And here, I knew you would be entertained. Those I have never found, and I'm not sure whether they are phantom trademarks, but whether they were actually used in real life, but they look so beautiful. Here, another Indian tin, very poor quality. The needles also were of extremely poor quality, so you could not even use them once per side. Pegasus, the lion, and the young boy, and versions of that one, and that is for the Balkans. That was a tin used in Germany. This one is a lightly clad maiden from India. Leckerphone. And this one here is the Gooseman, or Geeseman. And, you know, there are so many examples of the main theme, the Lord Needles. And here, just as a sideline, the vignettes were also used. Or there were vignettes that used the same theme, in this case, to appeal to people in Africa. And this one here is an almost racist little black fellow instead of Nipper. And another tin for export to Africa. And this one, I like. You have to think twice or thrice to find out it's really a Nipper infringement. For some reason, the of all the companies that replaced the dog with some other animal, Beka used a flamingo. Why a flamingo? I have been unable to find out. And it is, I mean, it makes no sense. And the outside horn gramophone is being reduced to just the horn with a with the partly visible a disc in front of it. So arrange things mirror-wise. And a heraldic lion this time. And some of the images might represent real machines, so the machine collectors will be able to identify those machines, I'm sure. This one is for Czechoslovakia. This one is the same type of needle for Germany. This is also Czechoslovakia. This is stolen from the one used in Germany earlier on. So, and then his master's voice has those catchwords, master, and voice and HMV. So we already touched on voice. And here we have awaiting his master's arrival. You know, it's Potomac. And here we have master needles, India. And here we have home music voice. And guess what? Abbreviated, it's HMV, home music voice. And then lastly, I'm not quite sure, there are plenty of needle tins from post-World War II Japan, and I'm still not sure whether they are genuine or whether they are infringements. There are so many of them. And they are not Victor, but they are victory needles. And they look so genuine, but I'm not sure. Why don't they say Victor and victory? Yes. Strange, isn't it? Okay, so his master's voice was used, of course, also in cartoons, plenty of cartoons. And this one I found in the Czech Socialist Republic immediately after the Soviet invasion, a couple of months later, and they had an art exhibition. And I'm absolutely sure this was a subversive cartoon against the powers at Bien. And I scratched the back of my head to find a... I can't finish, and ask a presentation without sounds. And I was looking for dog-related recording. So the recording I'm playing now has nothing to do with the cartoon I'm showing, except that it is also supposed to be funny. And it is Nipper Serenade. Now, how do I get this to work? Enter. This is contemporary, 1907. Why doesn't it move down? Oops. I have one more slide. How do I get it? Technology.
Oh, at the bottom, right?
Any technology that goes beyond cranking a handle is beyond me. Yeah.
Which one is it? Oh, it's on the wrong presentation.
Yes.
Okay. There we go.
Ah, okay. So if you can stand another example of a dog record. I'll have mercy on you and only play the excerpt. This is about a Danish dog trainer, and he performs at a circus, and it starts in the trainer calling his dogs, and they answer him. And so he has a soprano dog, and an alto dog, and a baritone dog, and a tenor dog. And he calls them all by name, and then all together, they perform.
Peter, King, Ajax, Dolly, now Dolly, come, Perle, Pussy.
Thank you.
Any questions?
How many takes did he have to do in that last one?
I only found the two sides, one takes each.
And what was the year?
55. That was issued here.
Oh, really? No, not the singing dogs that do.
Yes. Yeah. Same thing with Susanna also, but I'm not sure it's the same take.
Well, this is in Danish language.
This is in Danish.
That's right. There's an LP on an off label. Baby Pickwick, that includes the Danish introduction, but the O Susanna was on the same side as Jingle Bells, on the 78 and the 45 from 1955. So O Susanna was issued here on 78, and the introduction where he's calling the dogs is on an LP that was also issued.
Any further questions?
I'm just surprised you can get so far afield from anything that looks like Nipper or a gramophone and still be considered patent infringement. A kangaroo in front of an angel or whatever does not remotely infringe on it. His master's voice. And of course, as we all know, his master's voice, the original painting, was a phonograph. So that was changed as well. But I think, were they both kept in copyright?
Yeah, how could they claim two beings as being an infringement? You know, a baby and a horn that doesn't even look like a phonograph, just because there are two items together.
Don't ask me, ask the lawyers.
Well, they might have sued them. Was the suit successful?
That is the topic for another presentation.
Uh-huh. They could sue a lot of people, and, you know, just to harass them.
Yeah. Anyone else?
I think we should thank the sound man here.
Yes.